Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
At Open House, we seek to keep you at the cutting edge of the breathtaking world of new media and social media. So here's something that arrested our attention. The appointment of the Seven Television Network's first director of social media and strategy, Adam Boland, the man who brought the world Mel and Koshy. And on Seven Sunrise program, Adam, through Mel and Koshy, trailblazed, I think, a whole new era of audience connection, interactivity and participation, much the same as what you see on social media today. And this, I think, highly significant appointment takes the whole participatory thing of social media to an entire new level. Adam Boland joins us on Open House. Adam, welcome.
Hi, Lee. Nice to be here.
Great to see you. Thanks for coming in. As I said, you're a real trailblazer with this kind of connection, and many have followed in all sorts of ways in kind of old media. When was it, or how was it, that you twigged to the force of this?
Well, it's a very interesting question, and I would argue perhaps that Sunrise used a very early form of social media in that we took this approach that no longer did we want the TV simply to be, you know, a box in the corner of the room, which basically lectured you. We took in many ways, a talkback radio approach, where we said we want to hear back from the audience. It started in a very traditional sense. We invited people to write to us with snail mail. Soon enough, the internet was gaining traction, and we introduced a thing called the soapbox, which on a big day, we would sometimes get up to 10,000 emails a day. Now, consider that. What that told us was people were keen to be heard.
So what was it about your understanding of people that made you go there? Because it was a very different thing to do in those days.
Well, it was in a television sense, but I think, I think people have opinions, you know, and we were operating in a breakfast space, and I think you need to look at that in context, in that I think breakfast TV is a very personal time of the day.
Yes.
It's when people are getting ready, you know, it's a very personal time. They're having breakfast with their families. So for us to succeed in that time space, we had to find a way to invade that space. And I think the way we did that was to involve ourselves in the conversations they were having. You know, you wake up in the morning, you hear things that have happened overnight, you read the paper, you have a discussion with your family. What we were saying is we want to be part of that discussion. Now, for that to happen, we needed to be able to find ways for them to talk to us, but not in a superficial way. We had to ensure that their views were actually getting to air. And, you know, that meant taking ourselves away from the traditional production line where you had to, you know, ensure things were put through a graphics department and the like. We would simply rip and read. So it was spontaneous, and it was real, and it was engaging. And Koshy, and it came down, I think, this was a very important point, to Koshy and Mel having the ability to talk outside of a traditional auto-cue environment. They had to be able to take the conversation in a way where our viewers dictated, not producers.
And that's the radical thing.
Yeah.
I mean, we
it
all
seems
know.
Like common sense.
That's
now.
Right, in the light of social media. But up until then, you were just dishing it out to people, and it was a very big
Well, and
step.
You know, we would go into to a show, a three-hour show, often with a rundown, with plenty of gaps, you know.
And, scary.
And it really was in a TV sense. Yes. You know, you're used to saying, okay, at 7:04, here's where we'll be, and we take this camera angle. We would just say discussion about, you know, whatever, hairstyles, or, you know, so whatever the issue was of the day, we would put it to our audience, and you know what? We would come off the come off air 3 hours later and say, "Wow, what a roller coaster ride!"
You filled it,
yeah, really did. Yep. And we would never know where the viewers would take us. And you know what? That was one of the keys to our success: giving viewers the power to be producers.
It has so many implications for so many corporations and especially communications outfits these days. Let me ask you about your appointment and how it practically works out. This particular appointment ended a particularly bruising episode between yourself and the Seven Network. You wanted out, and then you're back in the family.
We had a group hug, Lee.
Yes.
it's all good.
It warmed my heart. Give us a sketch of the kind of things that you're doing practically Okay, so you got the title, social media.
Yeah.
What are you doing in practice to implement that?
I just wanted the business card, Lee. I didn't realize I had to actually do
stuff. Oh, right.
No, look, there's a lot. And I am genuinely excited about what this is because I do consider this the future of the media.
Yes.
Clearly, we are now engaging across our entire network with our viewers in a way that we haven't before through sites such as Facebook.
Yep.
You know, Sunrise was the first show on commercial TV to have a Facebook fan page, for example. You know, and we have a couple of 100,000 people on there now. And we have in fact found on that site, for example, we get most of our responses throughout the show on a particular topic rather than those traditional emails or text messages where the soapbox started. They're now coming via our Facebook presence. In fact, we do research, which will come as no surprise, every couple of years on viewer habits and the like, and particularly lifestyles. And this one stat really struck me. This was about a year ago. When people wake up now, 45% of our viewers, the very first thing they do, and this is people aged between 25 and 54, the very first thing they do before going to the toilet and certainly before turning on the TV is check their Facebook page.
Really?
You know, that...
Now that's...
It's just a mind-blowing stat.
Wow.
You know, and I'm not sure what that says about people. I'm not sure what that says about the willingness to connect with people, to be in the loop, to know what your friends are up to, to, you know, are we all, you know, it's like certified voyeurism in a way. I'm not sure. But
it's a powerful stat.
It really is. Yes. And from a media point of view, you know, we have to be part of that. So there is engagement via Facebook. But, you know, the wonderful thing about this is technology is changing by the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just this, you know, last week or so, we did a thing again on Sunrise. Where I tend to use Sunrise as an experimental, you know, launch.
Why not?
It's like a guinea pig. Yes. Yeah. It's a wonderful little show to play with. And they're very open-minded producers. But there's a new site, Google Plus, which is Google's answer to Facebook in many ways. And they have an exciting feature in there called Hangouts, which essentially is just a place where you can go and hang out with your friends, but you can do it with the power of webcams.
Yeah.
So you can have this multiple webcam discussion, like a Skype chat one-on-one, but with up to 10 people in there, free of charge. And it's just a wonderful technology. Now, we put that to use by putting webcams and laptop computers, essentially, throughout our station. So as people were watching the show, simultaneously, they were able to go to our website and see five or six, in the end, different perspectives of our TV station.
Kind of behind the scenes.
That's right. So yeah. We gave them a true 360 experience of Sunrise. So, you know, you're used to seeing the end results, but all of a sudden we could show them inside the makeup room, you know, while we're on air.
It's
we
a
could
great
show them
idea.
Inside the control room while yeah. we're on it, you know. And that's risky because, as you know, in a control room during a live environment,
I know all
happen.
About that, mate.
Things get said. Yes. So, and we were simply saying, hey, we want you to see what gets said. And that, I think, is one of the keys to social media. You have to be honest and you have to be able to engage in a way that is transparent.
Now, you've gone Google Plus and ditched Facebook for your own personal social media.
Well, for my personal sense, you know, and I wrote a column about this on a marketing site a couple of weeks ago, and boy, I copped some major flack. It turns out that Facebook has many loyal supporters, and, you know,
sure.
So it should. It has, what, 700 million people use Facebook around the world. It is a powerful site. My argument was simply this, that I think you need to be careful with Facebook in that, you know, you find yourself, well, I certainly found myself sharing a lot of information to a lot of people. The beauty of Google Plus, and by the way, you can do this with Facebook, it's just overly complicated. The beauty of Google Plus is that you can create circles and essentially decide what you share with who. And in turn, you can decide what to see and from who. You know, I think giving the user control is really important.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think we get lazy sometimes and fall into a default mode with Facebook. You know, here's a curious story. And this is one of the reasons I fell out of love with Facebook. A very good friend of mine, one of my best friends, works at Sunrise. And, you know, he said to me a couple of months ago, why didn't you come to my girlfriend's, you know, party the other night? You know, it was a big gig and, you know, very important to them. And Well, I was shocked. I didn't even know about it. I said, you know, you didn't tell me. And keeping in mind, this friend of mine sits next to me at Channel 7. You know, I see him every day. And he said, yeah, there was a Facebook invite.
Oh,
and I thought, well...
How revealing.
You know, and I'm a big fan of social media, clearly, and social networking, but, you know, not to when it gets to the point... You know, I understand the beauty of Facebook and connecting with people overseas and people you... But when in your same office or in your same household, they're communicating... That defeats the whole purpose.
It's a bit scary, isn't it?
You know, yeah. I thought that was a really good example of why we can go too far with social networking.
We're with Adam Boland on Open House, the new Director of Social Media and Strategy. Adam, one of the things that social media is known well for is its anarchy and especially hostility to old media. As a television network, how do you get around that? How do you deal with that?
Well, I think you try to build a bridge between the two, you know, and I think from a news gathering point of view, social media can be extraordinarily effective. You look at the events in the Arab world, for example. What we saw through there was social networking on a number of levels. But from a to answer your specific question, when news groups weren't allowed in many of these countries, social sites like Twitter and YouTube and the like, and even Facebook, enabled the world to see pictures that they wouldn't otherwise have been able to see.
Way above the heads of the authorities and the regime.
Absolutely. Yeah. Very little they could do about it, in fact. Yeah. And, you know, it was citizen journalism.
And I thought this is a great week to have a chat like this because of what we've seen in the UK.
Yeah.
So initially the riots are mobilised to a great extent on social media. Then the vigilantes take photos of the rioters and videos, dob them into the authorities. And then the cleanup is mobilised on social media. I think we've never seen anything like this before.
Yes, good and bad. You know, I am a little worried about the number of times I've seen social media blamed for the riots, which I think is rather naive. Clearly, it takes people to commit offences.
Yeah.
And the reality is that... there is clearly something much deeper with that society, which
yes.
is not for me to pass judgment on. But what social media or social networking certainly allowed was many of these people to communicate in a mass sense.
Yeah.
You know, that's obvious. But at the same time, it also can allow, if used properly, police to track these things
absolutely.
Ahead of time.
And
so,
we've seen that too.
Absolutely. You know, just on the way here, I was I heard a story that the NYPD has set up an entire social media branch now, essentially to prevent crime. It's part of their crime prevention strategy, that they will trawl Twitter and Facebook sites and various other sites looking for crime.
How do you think it's changing people? I've been watching for quite some time the whole way people are interacting with this and changing everything from their multitasking to their evaporating attention spans, and also the brutal abusive nature of much social media at times. How do you think it's changing us as people?
Yeah, look, again, good and bad, I think. You know, on the good side, I like the fact, I like anything that can bring us together.
Yeah.
Particularly when you're talking in a global sense. You know, I love the fact that I can turn my computer on in the morning and see, a kid in Chicago, who thinks he's the next Justin Bieber, and he may well be.
And he might be.
That's right.
And
the beauty and the potential of that is extraordinary. I love seeing, you know, there was a time when we wouldn't have access to information in such a quick manner, and it allows us control as users to tap into whatever we want to tap into. It can bring us all together. This is a wonderful thing. We can become a much closer community. You know, how many times have you seen a clip that's, you know, whatever it may be, sweep across the world? You know, it starts, you know, with, you know, 100 views here. Within 2 weeks, it's 12 million views.
Yep.
You know, what a wonderful mechanism. Now, on the flip side, there is, of course, bad. And, you know, I've noticed there is a level of, there can be a level of anonymity to social media, which can concern me, you know, even at a 7 sense, when we see a lot of the feedback that we come in, a lot of it is quite bitter, you know, because you are, there's a difference. If you were to go up to someone in a street and have a conversation, you're not going to, I think you will be somewhat careful
restrained,
with the language
yes.
you use, and you'll be respectful and you'll engage in a normal sense. Now, some of those rules of normal engagement haven't been translated yet to a social networking sense.
And evaporate with the anonymity of it all.
That's right. You know, and Google's embroiled in this battle at the moment with their new site, Google Plus. They've said, look, if you come onto this site, we need you to use your real name. Now, a lot of people are saying, well, that's a gross invasion of privacy, and that's not how the online world... Well, it's not, but why isn't it? Why can't it be? What are you trying to hide? Yeah. You know, I'm all for, you know, the sites like WikiLeaks, who can do terrific things. That's what journalism has been for many, many years. But at the same time, I'm not a believer in using sites simply to cause mischief without having the ability to stand behind that.
Yeah. Because of where we come from on Open House, do you see much expressed in this world at a spiritual level, a world away from our gadgets?
Well, I hope so. You know, and again, I don't think it's about the technology. I think in the main, it's about people wanting to connect with other people.
Yep.
You know, and one of the reasons Sunrise was so successful is because we would make it part of our charter, essentially, to bring communities together who would otherwise feel a little disconnected. And this is, I think, part of the ability of social media used correctly. Well, here's a good example, the London riots from this week. You know, there was one of the hashtags that appeared very quickly was for people to look out for the elderly who were caught up in some of these riots. So, you know, there was this exchange of information about, oh, yes, you know what, my mum is in this area. I can't get to her. Is there anyone down there who can? You know, that's a wonderful thing because that essentially is saying, okay, we're one big happy family. Let's look out for each other. And this is simply giving you the tools to use it. I don't think it's about the technology. I don't think it's about having a gadget in your hand that's cool. I think it's about us wanting to connect. And, you know, often I find the most powerful outcomes come from when people have that level of engagement.
How do you think this whole arena of social media regards something like faith or religion? Which are different things in my view.
Well, true, but, you know, everything is about a message, I guess. And if you can convey a message in such a way that it garners support in a social media sense, you're onto something, you know, and I think it's down to all of us to be able to sell that message in many ways. You know, I have this argument with someone at work, and I mean no offense when I talk about this, but he's a deeply religious guy. He's a wonderful producer, and he will often bring up in, you know, the spirit of the a conversation about news stories. When we're talking about religion, he will offer a very religious argument, and will sometimes get shouted down. Now, that's the modern reality of we have younger producers. And they will often say, you're not selling me on this message. And he will respond with, so this is a marketing argument, you know? And
I'd love to hear these conversations.
You know, but in some respects it is,
yeah.
You know?
And it's also about authenticity.
Oh, absolutely. This is... I'm so pleased you said that because...
Well, it is.
And you know what? The wonderful thing about... one of the wonderful things about social networking is there is a healthy level of skepticism.
Yeah.
And I don't think that is a bad thing. You know, if you can generate debate and if you can sell your message in a way that survives the scrutiny, more power to you.
Last question. You'd have to be one of the most connected guys going in this kind of job. Do you ever get to the point of thinking... You know what? I just might switch this off for a while and take a break.
Yeah, dangerous, but I do.
Yes. Where's Adam gone?
That's right. People get worried if I don't tweet, you know, yes, for an hour. There's something wrong in Adam's world.
What a prison.
That's right. Yeah. You know what? And you have to. And there has to be a level of disconnect where you can, and we all must do this, take time out to talk to ourselves. Otherwise, yeah, we're just going to go crazy.
Adam Boland, thoroughly enjoyed our chat. Thank you so much for
likewise
coming in on Open House.
It's my pleasure.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.